I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to the special message on Pentecost and letting love guide you. Think about God is love. Let's let God guide us through this journey that we're on in life. When I think of Pentecost, one of the first things I think of, I have my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, and we talk about how Pentecost is the fourth feast of Israel. It's the fourth feast. So immediately I think of some connections to the number four. I go back into the book of Genesis, and on day number four of creation, God created the sun and the moon and the stars. And you think about that. What did he create? He created time. He created timing. And we often navigate with the stars. We use the stars to navigate and to guide us and to let us know what the times are, what the seasons are. God says, I give you these for signs and for seasons. And then we go into the story of Pentecost. It's interesting. We see some parallels in the story of Pentecost, and actually in the Jewish culture, they say that on the day of Pentecost was actually when the Ten Commandments or the law was given to Moses, and he brought it down for the people. So we see this interesting connection. We got day four of creation. We've got signs, and we've got seasons, and time, and guidance, and navigation. Then we've got the Ten Commandments and the law given on the same day of Pentecost, which think about that. That was really a guide. It was a guide for living, how to live a holy, godly life. And then we have this day of Pentecost in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit comes down and empowers the believers. And now we've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and he's guiding us from the inside. We've got guidance from the inside out. It says he will be your guide. He will guide you into what? All truth. He will guide you into everything that you need to know, guide you into everything that is Jesus's. He'll guide you into all that. So we've got this guide living on the inside of us. And what is it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit. God has given us his Spirit on the inside of us. And God is what? God is love. So we have the Spirit of love that's on the inside of us, guiding us into the paths of God. And so we've got some interesting connections here with Pentecost and the number four and all these types of things. And think about this. In the Old Testament, when the law was given, Moses brings it down, and the people were going crazy, and Moses breaks the Ten Commandments, and 3,000 people died that day. 3,000 people died that day because it says, the Apostle Paul says, the law kills. The law brings condemnation and guilt and shame, and it kills, but the Spirit gives life. On the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, you see that 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people brought back to life again. 3,000 people are saved. And also we see on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, as Peter stands up and he starts speaking, he starts quoting from the book of Joel, where he says, the sun will be darkened and the moon will be turned into blood before the days of the Lord. And so we see this connection back into signs and season and the moon and the stars and all these types of things. So these are some of the themes that come up here in the book of Pentecost. Let's get into this a little bit more, and then we're going to go into actually Deuteronomy chapter 7 and talking about this covenant of love that God has given us. I really believe Pentecost is when God poured out this covenant of love. Everything that happened with Jesus was completed. All of the administration of everything was done. And he pours out. We see the evidence of this new covenant of love. So we're actually going to pray here. We're going to get into Deuteronomy chapter 7 a little bit. And then we're going to take communion over this concept of letting love be our guide. Really, when we're letting love be our guide, we're letting God guide us in our lives. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching this video and all of our partners, and I just pray for everybody, all of their families, their friends, those connected to them. I pray for our church and our governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. And I thank you for your purpose and grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever even began. And Father, I just keep asking. We pray this prayer from Ephesians 1 regularly. We keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead, seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us and to bless our time here together. Let us come all way with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling encouraged and inspired and challenged and enlightened all at the same time. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Father, we ask you to help our love to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we're able to discern what is right and best in your eyes. And we ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand, to lift us up, to heal, to do signs and wonders, and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So, I was praying about this message for Pentecost. And one of the things that came to mind is just, I feel like God was saying, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. He's talking about his covenant of love. His covenant of love. And I want to talk about this idea of a covenant of love and how often, like I said, Pentecost is a reminder of guidance, of navigation, of which way do I go? Which way do I turn? We've talked about before how we can plug in our hopes, our desires, the worries and cares of life. We can give those over to God and let God guide us on this journey of life and let love guide us. When God's guiding us, love is guiding us. I want to talk about today, we're going to talk about three levels. And so these three levels, these kind of, the concept of this first started to come to mind when I was writing my book, The Eighth Day. But you have one level, which is not good. You could retaliate, or you could try to get back at people, or you could just quit. You could just give up, leave, whatever it may be, is level one. Level two is you could do nothing. You could go silent. You could withdraw your presence. You could just do nothing and get bitter and angry and just stay where you are. Or level three, you can choose the way of love. You can choose to continually do good even when you're tempted not to. And that's the way of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, right after the chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, says this: follow the way of love. Let's let love guide us. Let love navigate us. Let love make our decisions for us. Follow the way of love. So here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I believe this is an NIV version that I've got here. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. We said, when we take communion often in our daily communions, we've talked about Hebrews chapter 10. By the one sacrifice of Jesus, through his body, through his blood, we've been made holy forever. By one sacrifice for all time, we've been made perfect and holy for all time. It says, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you. Again, we've talked about, we didn't choose God. God chose us. He's chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. We've talked about over the last several weeks, the real treasure in heaven, God and people. People are what God treasures the most. And when we make God and people our treasure, and we have the fear of the Lord, we walk in true awe and reverence and honor of God. And we'll see that showing up here in a little bit, that we become his treasured possession. And that people are supposed to be what we treasure the most. We're supposed to be seeking after God, loving people. That's letting love guide us. And when we do that, God and people are the treasure. That's the treasure of heaven. And when we give, when we do good, we're storing up treasure. We're building relationships with people. We're valuing people and seeing them as treasure over the money and the stuff and material things and all this type of thing. So then it says in verse 7, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. So it wasn't because these people were so great that God chose them. And it's the same way with us. It's not because we did everything right, because we're the most numerous, because we're the best. It's not why he chose us. So it was because of the Lord loved you. It was because he loved you and kept the oath that he swore to his forefathers, that he brought you out with a mighty hand. So we talked about you've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery. You've been released from darkness, transferred into the light because of what Jesus did. Colossians 1:13 says we should be giving thanks to that. We've been transferred out. He brought you out of the land of slavery from the power of Pharaoh. For we've been redeemed from the power of sin and death, from Satan, from the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. Even in this Old Testament, it says it was a covenant of love. Actually, this covenant he's talking about, I actually think here, his covenant of love was with Abraham, as I'm just thinking about it right now. He was keeping his covenant. That was a covenant he made with Abraham. He's keeping his covenant of love. And we have that covenant. We're all children of Abraham, it says in the book of Galatians, I believe. Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. But those who hate him, he'll repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. So God has this covenant of love. This is his hesed love. In Hebrew, the word for steadfast love or covenant love is hesed. And it's his obligation. It's his commitment. His unwavering, steadfast, consistent, fixed, established, unwavering commitment to do goodness, kindness, gentleness, unfailing love for us. And remember this, love never fails. When we follow the way of love, love never fails, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. We follow the way of love. Love never fails. So we have this word hesed. It's interesting. On the day of Pentecost in the Jewish culture, they have different scripture readings and passages of scripture they read on different holidays. And one of the passages of scripture they read for the day of Pentecost is from the book of Ruth. They read the book of Ruth and they say one of the reasons why they do that, it's a reminder of God's hesed. I saw this today. I was doing some research on the Feast of Pentecost. The reason why they read the book of Ruth, one of the reasons, it's a reminder of God's covenant love. It's a reminder of his covenant love. And at the end today, we're going to take communion. And our communion today is a reminder of covenant love. Think about Jesus says, this is my commandment. And we're going to see here, if we keep our covenant, our commandment, Jesus says, my commandment is this, love each other. We've been given this covenant of love, loving God and loving people, to make it very simple. We've been given this covenant of love. So then God says, verse 11, therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws that I give you today. God says, if you love me, you'll obey what I tell you to do. And what did Jesus tell us to do? Love each other. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow his voice. We're going to have fear and awe and reverence of him. And we're going to follow his leading. We're going to let love guide us through life. And what does he guide us to do? He guides us into loving people. So you think about this. God had a choice. Because of his covenant love, he chose to do good. Love is who he is. He chose to do good. He could have just left these people. He could have paid them back for what their sins deserved. He could have been cruel and harsh with them. That's that level one that we talked about. He could have just done nothing. He could have just turned a silent ear, withdrew his presence, got bitter and angry and just stewed about it and just did nothing. He could have done that. But love, when we follow the way of love, it causes us to make a different decision. When we follow the way of love, we do continually good for people. We talk about this in the book, The Eighth Day, this idea of grace. God is doing continually good for us. Following the way of love says, hey, I'm going to make this commitment that I'm going to do good. I'm going to love you no matter what. It's not dependent on what you do to me. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. And I'm going to do good no matter what. And it's not dependent on what you do, because my covenant is this. My covenant is to love. And God has promised to give us his hesed, his steadfast love, goodness, kindness, mercy, grace, in this covenant of love. And then it says this, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love. There it is again. He'll keep his covenant of love as he swore to your forefathers. This is the covenant we just said. I just seeing this right now with your forefathers, the one he promised to Abraham. And we have that covenant actually too. He will love you. God will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you, and do not look on them with pity, and do not serve their gods. And then he goes on to tell them, hey, you might say to yourself, how are we going to take this land? And God says, I will drive them out from before you. I'll send hornets ahead of you, and I'm going to drive out these people, and I'm going to give you this land as a covenant of love. And so we see here these three levels. You could get mad, you could retaliate, you could get back at people. Level one. Level two, you could do nothing and you could sit and you could stew and get simmering on the inside and meditating on all the ways other people have messed with you, done wrong to you, all these types of things. Withdraw your presence, avoid people, or you could follow the way of love. And say, no matter what, I'm going to keep doing good. Jesus did what? He went about doing good. And I'm going to continue to do good. And so this is extremely relevant for us in our everyday lives as we make decisions, as we follow and we navigate our lives day to day. Every day we've got choices and decisions, little ones, big ones, all these types of things that are navigating our lives. And we can let love guide us and choose to keep this covenant of love. That we can begin to imitate God and keep this covenant of love where we're going to make choices based on love, not all these other things. And so this goes from everything. This could be in your relationships. It could be with your spouse. Things get hard in your marriage. You could just leave. You could just quit and go. You could just simmer about it on the inside and withdraw your presence, give them the silent treatment, not talk to them, and just be bitter and frustrated on the inside. Or you could say, you know what? Even though my spouse is pushing my buttons, I don't feel like they're treating me the way that they should. I don't like this thing that they're doing. I'm going to still keep doing good for them. No matter what they do to me, I'm going to still keep giving them this covenant of love. I'm going to keep doing them because I've got a covenant with God that he's doing the same for me, and I'm going to do that for them. I'm going to let love guide me. I can grow in my love. Philippians 1:9, we prayed it as we got started today. Help our love to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that we're able to know and discern what's right and best in God's eyes. When our love grows, when we make choices by love, it allows us to navigate and know what's right and best in God's eyes. This could be with a relationship with a kid. You could give up on them, condemn them, beat them down. You could get frustrated and angry and not say anything, or you can continue to do good. This could be in your work or your purpose. You don't like the way things are going. Let's say you're working for somebody else. You don't like the way they're treating you. You don't like the way it's going. You could just quit and leave. You could just sit and fume about it, get frustrated and angry and do your work with a bitter, frustrated heart. Or you could say, you know what? I'm going to show up every day and work like I'm working for God. I've got this covenant of love. I'm going to work every day like I'm working for God. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to do good today. I'm going to give them my best today. Maybe you're starting a business and you're frustrated. You don't have the customers, the clients, the sales that you want to have yet. You could get frustrated, bitter, quit. You could choose to just do nothing and just stay where you are and just keep spinning your wheels. Or you could say, you know what? I'm going to grow. I'm going to keep. How can I love my clients, my customers, the people who are buying my products or services? How can I love them more? Love is one of the best business strategies for ministry, for business. And remember, anytime you're in business or ministry, you're doing both. You got to do business and ministry. You got to implement the principles for good business and good ministry of doing good all the time, no matter what, to be successful in whatever organization you're in. This could be in your health. You're eating better. You're exercising. It's not working as quickly as you want it to go. You could just give up and quit. You could stay frustrated and discouraged and all these types of things. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep showing up with a good attitude. Keep doing my best. And I'll make little adjustments as I see needed. This has a lot of practical applications into everyday life, into the everyday decisions that we make. let love guide you. One of the things I would recommend, go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read that. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love always assumes the best. It keeps no record of wrong. It's not keeping a record of the wrong. We've talked about one of these reminders of Pentecost. Pentecost is the bridge to the other side of the year. We have three feasts in the spring, three in the fall, with Pentecost all by itself in the middle. It's the bridge to the other side of the year. And it's this reminder to stay more in the present moment, to let the sins of the past, let the wrongs of the past go. Ways people have wronged you, ways you've missed up, giving them, giving yourselves grace, receiving that grace that God's giving us right now in this present moment, staying more present and giving God, putting our hope and our trust and our confidence for the future in God, where we give that to Him and we can rest and stop worrying and stressing about it. It's okay to, and it's good to dream and vision and plan, but when we get into stress and worry and anxiety about the future, we got to stop. Say, all right, I'm going to get more present because that's where the grace flows. And in the everyday decision-making, we're going to connect with God and His presence. We're going to connect with this covenant of love where He's with me in the present moment. He will never leave me or forsake me. And that's going to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. It's going to change the path that we take going forward because we're going to let love guide us. Go in and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All the characteristics of love. Love wraps all those things together in perfect harmony. It's all those at the same time. And we're going to let love guide us through this journey of life. Make our decisions based on loving God, loving people. It says, if you love me, you'll follow me. You'll obey my commandments. And loving people the way that He's loved us. We're going to let His love flow through us to other people. So we're going to take communion here. And I want this communion, like we've talked about before, communion is an activator. Every time we take communion, the Apostle Paul says, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. That by His one sacrifice, He made us holy and righteous and perfect. We've been set apart. We've been made right in God's eyes. God's given us this covenant of love through Jesus. And every time we proclaim His death, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming His death. And His death was a big, big deal. Why? Because it was the transition point. It was the turning point of all time, giving us this new covenant. We don't have to work and follow all the rules and these types of things to be right with God. Through His one sacrifice, He made us holy and righteous and perfect forever, that we can approach God with freedom and confidence. We were just talking about it in our Zooms last week. In the Old Testament, the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies one day every year on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. He could only go in there one day of the year. Nobody else was allowed to go in, and he could only go in one day a year. And they would tie a rope around his waist so that if he died when he was in there, they could pull him back out. That was how holy, how perfect, how righteous they had to be to enter in to this Holy of Holies, to be in God's presence. But when Jesus died, the veil was torn. And it says we can approach God with freedom and with confidence. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. It's truly amazing when you think about it, what Jesus really did for us. And it was His death that the veil was torn when He died on the cross. His death set this into motion. His death activated this. And we see on the day of Pentecost, His death happened, and we have 50 days. Pentecost means 50. 7 weeks, 50 days to the day of Pentecost. And now we see the administration of this. Think about this. When people die in the natural world, it takes some time to get the estate in order. It takes some time to close everything out, the administration of everything. All of a sudden, we see the release of everything that's been stored up. Holy Spirit comes. Jesus says, wait for it. And it comes. And all of a sudden, they are empowered. And they are going. 3,000 people get saved in one day. Went from nothing to 3,000 people saved in one day. As soon as this was activated, as soon as it was released, everything changed. So communion is an activator. It is a turning point in our lives. And so I want this communion today to be an activator. We're going to let love guide us. We're going to choose that level three where I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep doing good. I'm going to keep showing up with a good attitude, work like I'm working for God, because God has given me this covenant of love. And my part in this is to keep loving, to keep letting love guide me through life on my journey in life. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Then after dinner, on Passover, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many, poured out for the forgiveness of sins, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." All that's been rolled away. We've got this new covenant of love. This new covenant of love. God's hesed, his steadfast love. He's given it to us. He's pouring it out on us. And we talked about recently, how do we expand our capacity? You pour out. If a tea kettle is full, how do you make room for more? You begin to pour out. You begin to pour out. Begin to pour out this love and you'll see more of it flowing through you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup of the new covenant, this new cup of the participation in this new covenant. And we thank you for what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I hope this has been helpful for you. From this point on, when you've got decisions to make, you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside giving you that inner witness, that peace, that joy, that leading, that's leading you into the way of love. He will be your guide. He will be your comforter. He will show you which way to go. And I believe he always leads us in the path of love. A few weeks ago, we were talking about God's hesed love. We talked about all of the paths of God are steadfast love and righteousness. I forget the scripture reference for it, but all of God's paths are steadfast love and righteousness. He will guide you on this path of love. And so when you're faced with those decisions, do I just quit? Do I just give up? Do I do nothing and just stay bitter and frustrated where I am? Or do I choose to grow and to increase my love? That's God's path. That's this path. That's the way that we take. We take this third way. But I hope this has been helpful for you. And I look forward to seeing you soon in the Abundant Life Blueprint.